here. I'm going to need to cut off right now and head down to my office and call back in, but just wanted to let you know what the delay is. Who all's out there?
That's me, Lyle.
Okay, Lyle, I'll be back in. Shouldn't be more than a couple of minutes.
Okay.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
There wasn't anybody else I had called in, right? Hello.
Hello.
Elizabeth just called to say that she was moving down the hall, so.
Oh, goody. Is it just you and me?
You, I don't know, yeah.
Can I bitch about getting late notice for the meeting yet again? Does this bother nobody else?
Did you see Todd's email?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, okay.
But, I mean, it's no point preaching to the choir.
Yeah.
Hey, Todd.
Good morning.
I'm thinking of organizing a boycott of all meetings that don't give at least 48 hours notice.
Yeah, I just sent out email with a missive similar to that.
I've been complaining about it every time we've gotten late notice on these meetings for the past month or so, and it makes no difference.
Yeah, you know, I'd like to have time to consider the issues before I start talking about them.
Yeah.
And it came out at midnight. I got mine at midnight.
Well, of course, I don't check mail at midnight, so I got mine when I got into work today at 6 a.m.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, 6 hours notice.
Yeah.
Which I feel is insufficient.
Well, that's
especially
more than
apparently when people want to remove objects that we use from the.
Well, yeah, I have separate issues with the list, but. Morning,
yeah.
Chris.
Come on.
I feel like I've been good-natured about this for about 6 months now.
Yeah?
That's your limit?
That's typically twice my limit for something like this, because this screws up my entire day. I have people who want my attention. I have hardware crises. I have delivery deadlines. And to interrupt everything for a meeting is inexcusable more than twice. If there isn't an actual funding crisis, it's inexcusable, period. And which used to be regularly scheduled, is predictable. It's canceled more frequently than it's held. You can't assume it's going to happen.
Talking about this meeting?
Yes.
Yeah, my apologies.
And the late notice. Of...
Hey, Susie. It's Elizabeth.
Oh, it's Susie and Keith Bennett and Dan Scholes.
Good. Glad you're on. Okay. Excuse me, everyone, while I catch my breath here. Okay.
Looks like you were running to the...
Yeah, we had a meeting room mix-up, and I ended up having to come back to my office to call in. Yeah. Okay. Alrighty, where's my cursor going? There we go. Okay, if I can get my cursor back, I can type in who's here. Okay, who have we got? We got Lyle, I heard earlier. Todd.
I'm sorry.
And Susie, I'm sorry, you said it was you, Keith, and...
And Dan Scholes, he's our new programmer.
Great. Okay. Who else have I missed?
Chris Isbell.
Great. Hi, Chris.
Hi there.
Is that it?
So far, it looks like.
Okay.
Well, welcome to the team, Dan.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. What I'm looking for today is really an informal discussion. What I'm trying to do is continue on the work that Susie and Ed have already done in putting together a list of some of the fundamental weaknesses that we have with the existing model, the data dictionary, the standard reference, that kind of thing. Basically create a catalog, or, you know, just a listing of those things, and then try and organize those in such a way that we can figure out what are the short-term cleanup tasks, what are the long-term, this is PDS4 kind of tasks. And what I'm also looking for is your input on how we can guide people's thinking in a survey. In other words, what are the sort of broad categories we want to focus on in a survey to try and really pull out some of the issues that we need to address? Hey, Dick.
Good morning.
Okay, I threw together, as I called it, a quick laundry list of some of the issues that have already been brought up. That's the link that's in the email that I sent out. And it captures in shorthand some of the stuff that was from Ed and Susie's PowerPoint presentation from, what was that, a few months ago that you guys did that? Susie?
Well, Elizabeth, nobody has seen the PowerPoint presentation.
Oh, my apologies. I thought that was sent out. I'm sorry. I thought that was a presentation
so
you gave at a previous management council meeting.
Let me give some background, and I can send it out in a minute here if you give me it. But
sure.
in the April, back in April, we had a tech session, and I had planned to give this presentation about things that Ed and I thought needed revising, and then it was so discombobulated that we withdrew the presentation, so nobody's ever seen it.
Okay, my apologies. I thought that. Okay.
But we probably should let people see it. I just didn't have time to do it for this telecon. So.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, if you want to go ahead and email that out, or I can do it, whatever's easiest.
I will find it and do it right now.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Just as a sort of starting point, I see sort of several broad categories that we can look at. One is that part of the data dictionary that deals specifically with the element names or the keywords, and some of the issues that we've got in terms of, in a sense, structural issues. What are the limits in terms of things that we need to do with keywords or ways that we need to validate keywords that we can't do because of the structure right now? And what are some of the questions that we can look at there? Another area is the standards reference in general. What are the major missing portions? If you want to go ahead and list your little, you know, the nitpicky things that you would like to see changed in terms of you know, the way we do stuff, that's fine too. But I'm really going to be trying to synthesize a lot of these little issues into bigger, more global issues. What was the other thing? The PDS model, and this gets back to the data dictionary, but now we're dealing more with the whole objects. This gets back to some of the discussions we held earlier in the year in terms of the catalog objects, that kind of thing, and how the whole PDS model holds together. So that's another area that I'd like people to be considering. I think those are the three main areas. Okay, and then I guess the fourth area that I would like some input on now is validation tools, you know, user interfaces for searching data, that kind of thing. What requirements from those do we need to consider in reexamining the data model? In other words, are there types of searches we can't do because we physically don't have the information we need to do them, or the model doesn't support them? Are there validation steps that we want to perform but we can't perform because the data dictionary doesn't contain the necessary information, that kind of stuff? So at this stage, I just want to throw this open, and if anybody's got any things they'd like to go in and wade in and start talking about, I'd be happy to hear that.
I've had insufficient time to review everything. I have no comments to make at this meeting.
Okay. Anyone else?
As far as your last comment, Elizabeth, I just don't think that's really relevant.
I'm sorry.
You can't write the standards to fit the validation tool.
Not the standards. However, for example, the whole issue of versioning is something that we need to get into the data dictionary.
Yes.
And that, I think, is fundamentally driven by validation. You know, we need to be able to validate against the version of the data dictionary that a mission archived to. So
yes.
That's what I'm talking about when I say requirements that are coming out of our validation tasks. Does that make sense?
I understand what you're saying, but I think you have it's just the phrasing that's a little troubling, but don't go ahead. I'm worried that we're doing sort of a...
Okay. Yes, and in some sense it is. What I'm trying to do is, when I talk about generating a laundry list of problems, I think what we need to do is start with that and then go from there and try to organize that, figure out and identify what of those things are just cleanups so that we can respond to the Management Council's directive to do a cleanup of the standards in the data dictionary in the near term.
Which should have been, my understanding from the Management Council was that was supposed to be just an editorial task.
No, that's not at all the understanding that I took away from it.
Okay.
Because this is being driven by the desire to get much more solid validation and label generation tools. And as Joe Zender pointed out, fundamentally we shouldn't have the smarts in those tools residing in the software. It should be residing in the data dictionary. So this is what led to the cleanup.
I think there needs to be a real technical discussion before that statement can be validated. But.
Well, okay, I'm just going on what I was directed to do by the Management Council.
I know in my discussion with one member I talked to of the Management Council, his understanding of what he was asking for was quite different.
Okay, if you read the minutes, and Dick, you can respond to this, but my understanding is that the cleanup is being driven by the development of the validation and label generation tools. Is that what you...
I would agree with that. It's more than editorial, but it's less than PDS4.
Right. However, we did also receive the directive to start listing the things that should be considered under PDS4.
Certainly.
Start identifying what they are. Yeah, yeah. So again, that's where I'm coming from on trying to come up with this laundry list.
Other things on the laundry list, yeah, they're nice cleanup things, but they belong in PDS4.
Yes.
Things like removing requirements based on hardware and software.
Right.
Like the 80-character line limit.
And part of this exercise is to separate out the issues in that laundry list as to which are near-term, which are long-term.
Right, and I think that's whether it requires an SCR or not. If it's a change of the standard, it's a PDS4 issue, not a cleanup.
Well, there are going to be some consistency problems, which probably will lead to SCRs.
I envision this entire thing leading to one or more SCRs. I'm not intending that I'm going to go away and make some cleanups without consulting anybody. And that's what I mean by this being more than an editorial cleanup. This is a response to a directive from the Management Council. I will put together a plan. We will go back to the Management Council for approval of that plan. We will involve everybody at every step of the process.
My suggestion would be to collect these laundry lists and redline the existing documents as best you can. But just consider that the first step. I think the real job is just a hard reading of each one of these documents to try to figure out where the holes are and where the inconsistencies are. And that's only possible after you've got the original line. And then you just try to make sense out of the whole thing.
Okay. I'm sorry, Dick, how is that? I may be misunderstanding you. How is that differing from what I'm trying to do right now?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
I'm just suggesting an order.
Yes, okay.
Elizabeth?
Yes.
I may. I did just now send out by email the presentation that we were just talking about, so
yes.
Everybody on the tech group should get it. Since I see that my name and Ed's are on many of these things on your list, would it be useful for me to just go through this presentation, and if people are near a monitor, they can pull up the...
That would be great. I'd appreciate that. Sure.
Is that agreeable to everybody on the phone? Can you get to this thing that I just sent to you?
It was sent in a format I can't read.
It should be PowerPoint.
Precisely.
Can't read the PowerPoint attachment? If I turn it into
not
a PDF?
Not on a Solaris system, I can't, no.
And can you read a PDF?
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'll send that in a minute. So, keep talking.
Okay.
I would say, you know, PPI needs a week to put together our list.
Okay.
At least.
Again, so, keep in mind, this telecon is intended to be an informal discussion. I fully expect people to have lots of input in the future. In fact, this is why I want to send out a survey to solicit that input. And what I'm trying to make sure is that we cover all of the...
I think it'd be most useful to come up with the plan to go forward. I don't know if it's that useful to discuss individually.
Well,
okay.
I guess what I need to know is, what are we really doing? Are we identifying what PDS4 should start to look like, or are we identifying what can be fixed in PDS3?
Okay. I've been spending the last couple of weeks trying to come up with a plan, and my plan involves this as a first step. Let's figure out what the concerns are that people have. I think only once we've done that can we then identify which things are part of PDS3 and which things are part of PDS4.
Elizabeth, just a quick scan of Susie's presentation. I think when she goes through that, that might help with what you're trying to communicate.
Okay.
Do you know? Have you seen it, actually?
The presentation?
Yes.
Yes, I have.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Okay, check your emails. It got to Stanford.
I'm going to have to move the phone. Tell me when you're ready.
Ready here.
Anne, do you have it yet?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
PPI?
Got it, Susan.
Lyle?
Yeah, I got it.
Dick Simpson?
It's here, but I have to unpack it. I have Solaris too, and it's not immediate.
Well, I'll just begin with the prologue since I'm winging this. This was the presentation that Ed and I were going to present at the tech session in April that we withdrew, and the title is Data Dictionary and Standards Overhaul, and we did deliberately choose the word overhaul to get your attention, because we think this is more than just some patching up. I'm on page 2, introduction. There are issues with the standards and with the data dictionary that make it difficult for data producers to design and create PDF products and hard to develop automated validation tools. So that's the problem that we're trying to solve. We want to make it easier for data producers to make products and, secondarily, easier to validate them. But I really think production is the main thing. So we will present our view of the issues and suggest some changes. Page 3. Standards, issues with the current standards. This has been identified before by other people. The current standards reference has recommendations and requirements, and it's hard to tell which is which. We really need a clear set of requirements, and we ought to get rid of the recommendations that are in the standards. They should either be requirements or they shouldn't be in there. And second point, some standards are based on really old stuff, the 80-character line limit, for example. The requirement that you have to say records and record bytes in your labels when we don't really think of things in terms of records all the time. Those things that are based on basically punch card technology ought to be gone. Third point, the justification for the requirements is not always clearly stated in the standards reference. And this is important because if we can't justify why you have to do something, we're not going to get cooperation from data producers. So every requirement ought to be justifiable. And fourth point, generally all data objects are treated equally. What this means is we don't really say this is the way you ought to label, say, an image or a table. We leave too much choice up to the data producers, and so they can find all kinds of squirrely ways to try to get around standards to get their, pet file format in there. We really ought to be stricter about what formats and objects we allow.
Sounds like you're making a list of recommendations that certain objects should be used and others discouraged.
We do. We do recommend that.
But that's a recommendation, and I thought we were trying to get away from that.
Well, I think what I'm also hearing, though, is that if you are using X object, then these are the rules you must follow, and they may be more specific than the general rules that apply to all objects.
Well, here's, remember this, I'm reading this, and this is from April, but here's my philosophical justification for this. I think in the early days of PDS, we tried to be accommodating to all data providers, and we tried to have the philosophy that PDS labels were descriptive rather than prescriptive, if you're familiar with that division. And our philosophy used to be, send us your data, we'll just make a label that describes it, but we won't, it's not our job to tell you what format to use. Well, now we, I think, have to adopt the opposite philosophy that you do, as a data provider, you have an obligation to use a certain set of formats that everybody understands and can recognize. And if you have a really bizarre format, you're just going to have to bend it and make it fit. You just can't test, for example. It's totally weird. And we shouldn't probably have not allowed that. But I think from now on, we really ought to be prescriptive rather than just descriptive. We ought to say, here's what you can do, and you have to make your data fit this.
How do you see this relating to, we have like required keywords and optional keywords. I mean, if you use an object, there's a certain set of required. Are you,
yeah.
Are you suggesting that perhaps that list of required is too constrictive or not?
I think we come to this further on in the presentation as I'm remembering, so maybe we'll get to that in a minute. But in general, we sort of have this implicit file object that every label, you understand. You don't always have to say this is the file, and you can stick any keyword in the dictionary in that implicit file object up front. There's no restrictions, and that's probably not a good idea.
No, it's not.
So that's a problem that needs to be addressed. I think we get to this further on, Todd, so let me save that for later.
Okay.
So I'm going to turn the page now. Page 4, suggested changes to the standards. I think this is what we just did. Separate requirements from recommendations, provide justification. We should indicate what data objects are preferred.
Again, preferred is the same as recommended.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, but this may fall into the category of best practices that you have later in your presentation.
Yeah, that's the bottom.
I'm not sure that the standards reference is the place to put best practices.
And it may not be. That may be something that should be called out in a separate place.
But that's what we have the APG in for.
Yeah, I see your point, Lyle, that maybe the standards reference is not the best place. But I think my point still is that we are not so easy going as we
point to list the best practices, but that's not what the standards reference is for. Go ahead.
Okay. And then the fourth bullet, the standards document should be reorganized. Because I personally can never find what I want in that document, and if I can't find it, it's really bad.
I like going the other way. I like starting with small stuff and working up, but I agree it does need to be reorganized.
So I think that's an important point on our laundry list of things to do.
Okay.
And the bottom line is the data provider should be able to get what they want from the standards reference. It all should be in there, and it should be easy to find. Next page. Let's go to the data dictionary issues. We have a model that requires keywords to be universally applied, and this is a problem because we address so many different kinds of data types and data sets and disciplines that I think we're beginning to understand it's just not possible to have universal keywords that work for everybody. We have an explosion of keywords in the dictionary, a lot of which are for special cases. If you read the definitions, a lot of times it'll say, for Magellan, this means, for NGS, this means, et cetera. This is not good. The definitions are either too broad or they have all these special cases in them, which are not useful. And the model does not account for complicated instruments that need special keywords. There are cases when you just can't have a keyword that applies equally and happily to everybody. We also spend a lot of time on the phone and elsewhere trying to define keywords and create keywords and use old keywords in ways that were not intended just to get around all these problems. And then there are a lot of keywords that are the same, mean two different things, or the same keyword means two different things, or two different keywords mean the same thing. Anyway, there's a mess there. So on the next page.
Well, that's going to be hard to fix, Susie.
Yeah, well, I have...
Yes, for a fix.
I can't remember. I'm really unprepared for this, but I think further on, the point that we try to make is we ought to be using local data dictionaries, that is mission-specific or data set-specific, as the case may be, data dictionaries. There ought to be a minimum PDS global dictionary that everybody can use, and then it should be expected that a mission, for example, should generate its local data dictionary, and that should be delivered as part of the archive. This is something I'm going to get to further down, but let me go to the next slide, which is a continuation of this one. Two more problems. Aliases in the dictionary add to confusion. The one that I give in the example I think has already been fixed, but for a while there were certain values that were valid for instrument host that were not valid for spacecraft, which really screwed up the validation tools. And then the time required to make changes is very discouraging, and that's what leads people to try to find ways to get around making changes.
Would you agree that your intent with a lot of these changes is that we won't have to make changes, that the goal that we have is that we can come up with a more firm set of standards that won't require the tinkering that we currently need to do?
Yes, and I think the way to make that work is to shift a lot of these instrument-specific, mission-specific things into local dictionaries.
Yeah.
So next page, page 7. There are only 9 slides here, so I'm nearly done. Goals for data dictionary changes, easy maintenance, including updates, and I'd like to see regular updates and know when they're coming. So, for example, if I'm about to validate 31 data sets for MER to be released the day after tomorrow, which they are, and there's a data dictionary release the day before that, I'd like to know about it. So maybe I'll hold off some of my validation until then.
Okay, so I'm sorry, you're talking about basically having a posted schedule of when updates are coming?
Yeah, I would like to know.
Okay.
It does. If I have changes that I'm expecting to take effect, it affects my schedule. If I know when the dictionary is going to come out, I won't do some validation until then. Easier data product label design. Data dictionary.
Be a little bit more specific about that.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what I meant when I wrote this.
You probably meant the set requirements on each individual type of object.
Well, wouldn't it be nice if you could design a label with a tool and you could somehow have it attached to a data dictionary so it can easily look things up and know what keywords could go there.
I think that was something you brought up at the management council meeting, right?
Yeah, that was in the category of tool development. I think I'm going to just skip over that one here.
Okay, but that's still a valid issue because, as I say, it may provide requirements or it may levy requirements on our design to make sure that we can support such a tool.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a valid point still.
Okay. Data interoperability among different data systems. This came out at the management council when Joe Zender stood up and said that they had to freeze their copy of the PDS data dictionary and not accept any more changes. We really need to be aware of what other agencies are doing, and they are using our stuff, and we should know it, and we should understand that if we make changes, they are affected by it. That's the main point.
Well, and certainly when we really get hammering away on PDS-4, Joe Zender needs to be involved.
Yeah, his input is important. I mean, even if we're setting standards that other people use, whether we are aware of it or whether we like it or not, so we just have to understand that.
Well, it even goes beyond that because we're now encouraging that when we're dealing with some of these foreign missions that we don't archive the data, they archive the data to our standards or
mm-hmm.
to some uniform standards. I know that's come up with Celine at JAXA already.
Yeah. So we just have to know that this is what's going on and, you know, not make it so difficult for them.
Versioning solves all this.
Versioning would be very useful.
If it works.
If it's implemented, yeah.
No, implementing the wrong versioning won't help.
Well, granted.
And the last one is cross-mission, cross-instrument search and data recovery. I don't remember now what I was thinking of when I said on this data dictionary list.
If I could make a suggestion, both of these two will impact which keywords should remain global as opposed to which should be moved to local data dictionaries.
Well,
see, that's part of the problem then, isn't it? If you're advocating moving tons of things into local data dictionaries, which basically eliminates this last bullet, but because it will make cross-mission searches very difficult.
No, what it means is that you've got to be careful in figuring out which keywords should remain global.
My feeling is that we certainly should overhaul the data dictionary for PDS-4, but we should still encourage all missions to strongly consider whether or not their keywords belong in a global data dictionary or a local data dictionary. And I would push for global.
There may be an underlying assumption there. Are you assuming that a mission would use either all keywords from a local or all keywords from a global, as opposed to having a mix of the two?
No, but what I'm saying is what Susie's advocating here, correct me if I'm wrong, that most of the keywords belong more in a local data dictionary and only a select few belong in the global.
Yes, this is on the next page, page 8.
I think that we should not go that far down the path. If there are keywords that really are going to be used cross-mission or possibly used cross-mission, then they should be developed for a global dictionary.
That's right. And, in fact, work has already been started on that with Joe Zender and Steve Hughes working on the interoperability between our two catalogs. And we've identified a set of keywords that are commonly used for correlative searches. So that work is underway. Let's go. I think we really need to talk about this, but I'd like to get the next slide in before
go
we
ahead.
Go off on this conversation. So please look at page 8, suggested changes to the data dictionary. And Ed and I are suggesting limiting the keywords in the global data dictionary to those that are required and optional for data objects. That is, well, I won't read it to you. You can read it. There should be in the dictionary the defined required and optional keywords for every object that we allow. Second bullet is whatever keywords are identified as important for these interoperability searches, and those are mainly time and location, lat-lon, various variations of time and location. And we should redo the standard so that every object is explicit, that implicit file object should be made explicit, and that we can then define what the required keywords are for it. Everything else should be in local data dictionaries, one or more. Now, last slide is continuing. What do you do to implement local data dictionaries? And since I made this slide, I have thought about this the more. And my first bullet, I would now edit and change how you would do this. Let me see if I can describe the idea. My idea is that whatever local data dictionary you have should be included in your archive. Imagine that you had a directory called dictionary, and in there would be a file that would be easily readable by people that would have definitions of all your local keywords. It would also be readable by software for validation purposes. And in your label, there would be a pointer that might say, caret, local dictionary equals this file name. And that's how the software would find it. You might also make a requirement to include the global PDF data dictionary in the same directory and also have a pointer in your label to that. So the software could then go read a label, see those pointers, would have some protocol by which it might say, oh, first I'll look in the local data dictionary file for this keyword, and if it's not there, then I'll look in the global data dictionary. And you might also make this backward compatible by making the rule that if there are no pointers, we just know to always use the current global data dictionary. So wouldn't that be a lot easier than having the current syntax of, say, like MRO colon special keyword, MR or some other, what do they call that, namespace. I don't like the namespace.
Yeah, namespace.
I'm trying to get away with that. And I think by just putting pointers, if you just have the dictionaries in the archive and you have pointers to them in the label, that will solve a lot of problems. Okay, that is the end of my presentation.
I have kind of a general comment. I mean, I think your goals are good. We have to come up with a decent plan to reach those. But if Joe Zender and Steve Hughes are working on, interoperability elements and all that, and we're working on a separate set, we all have to be working from the same list of things.
Is Steve online? I heard some people call him.
No, Steve unfortunately had another meeting that was conflicting with this.
Oh, Elizabeth, I mean,
yes.
Can you get that information from Steve and Joe about what their list is so that we can...
I'm on that committee, too, so I can send it to you.
So that we can kind of bring all that information together?
Yes, absolutely. We're going to be pulling all of that in. I mean, we're working hard here to make sure that all the people that are working on different parts of this are coordinating their efforts. And this involves the tool development people. It involves the work that's going on to coordinate with Joe Zender. It's probably also going to pull in and involve the work on delivering archives to the NSSDC. I don't know what's going to come out of that may have an impact on some global keywords or some design issues, whatever. So,
and then I have one perspective comment, and that is that the data dictionary and the data model that PDS uses is central to everything.
Yes.
The tool developers are users of that. They don't, they may say, hey, we find this part difficult, but
Todd, yes.
We're not aligning things to
right.
To
and
a
tool. I need to respond to that. I am obviously doing a poor job at communicating because I'm running into the same problem here. At engineering node. I'm not trying to say that tool development should drive our standards. What I'm trying to say is that our users and you guys drive the tool requirements, and the implementation, how we go about implementing that in the tools, levies some requirements on the way we construct the data dictionary. For example, if we go with this philosophy of you don't have the intelligence in the software, you have it in the data dictionary, that means that if you want a validation program to do a certain task, we need to make sure that that task can be supported by the structure of the data dictionary. That's what I'm trying to get at. And I'm obviously phrasing that incorrectly because everybody keeps misunderstanding me. But that's what I'm trying to get at.
What I would say is if the data model and the data dictionary is self-consistent, you could build any tool from it. And that's our goal, is to make the data dictionary and data model self-consistent.
Yes, I agree, but they can be self-consistent and not be very comprehensive. I mean, for example, one of the issues that I would like us to examine to see if we can possibly support it is, can we validate interrelationships among keywords? For example, if in an image object bands is set to 3, then the band sequence had better have 3 values. Now, I don't know if we can do that, but I'd like us to examine, is that something that we could build into the data dictionary so that we could validate against it? I don't know. Let's throw it on the list.
Well, the point is that you don't get down to the point, can you do it? You put it as a requirement, and then later on you decide if you're going to do it.
Okay. But what I'm still saying, though, is we need to look at these issues because they may have a possible impact on the structure of the data dictionary. That's what I'm trying to get at.
Well, the structure of the model.
Structure of the model, that's fine. Okay, yes, I completely accept that. Yeah.
And that kind of goes back to my self-consistency argument in terms of the model.
Okay, and then that brings up another issue, which is, as part of this overall plan, one of the ways that we would like to, down the road, be able to test that we have properly implemented the model in the data dictionary is we would like to have your assistance in coming up with a list of regression tests, basically things that we run against the database that check that all of the relationships that are there, that the model is fully, the data dictionary, the database are consistent with the model as we've designed it. So that's just another area to be aware of. What are the kinds of queries? And we're just talking about, you know, one of the examples that came up yesterday was, give me a list of all the data sets that have this target, and it should come back with a certain expected result, and if it doesn't, we know there's a problem. So what are those kinds of things that we can do as tests of the self-consistency of the model and the database?
Well, yeah, I got to say, the regression tests are for software validation and not necessarily a model validation.
Well, I'm not...
User scenarios or particular scenarios is what you use to validate a model.
Okay, and that's fine. If you want to come up with user scenarios, that works.
Not so much user scenario, but, you know, scenarios of the type of data that you're trying to deal with.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think we've all had examples where we've tried to do a particular query, against essentially the information that's in the catalog, and it's come back with results we didn't expect. Either it was missing data sets or it came up with data sets that didn't belong there, whatever. And that's the kind of thing that we want to know what those queries are, and so we can use them to identify the problems that we've got in the way the model's been implemented. Call it whatever you want.
You said it correctly there, in the way the model was implemented.
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily mean that the model is invalid.
No, and I didn't mean to suggest that it was. I'm specifically talking about the testing of the implementation of the model. Okay, anyone else got any thoughts?
Well, I'd actually like to go back to Gio's presentation because I thought this was an excellent start. And
okay.
I'd also like to say it's very radical thinking, which in this case I don't think is a bad thing at all.
Mm-hmm.
Question in my mind is, how do we get buy-in from everybody across the PDS, and then we can start allocating what we should be doing and what we might not want to be doing?
I would say you got PPI buy-in already because we've been advocating this for a long time, but probably not as eloquently as this was just done.
So every point that's in here you agree with?
Yeah, I think the implementation of them is where we might have some differences, but
okay.
I would say in general, yes. The objectives are the correct ones.
Thank you, Don.
Any reactions from other nodes?
Well, I don't know what you mean by buy-in. Are we talking about buy-in for PDS4 or?
No, and again, I don't even want to get into the details of when exactly we implement particular changes. I mean, I think what we're more looking at is...
Well, I think that's important.
Well,
absolutely.
Absolutely. And it is something that we are going to hammer down as we move forward in this process. But as I say, I'm still at the stage of trying to identify what are the issues so that we can then figure out what's short-term, what's long-term. And I guess the question that's on the table then is, are you willing to consider major changes in the long-term?
Yeah, PDS4.
Yeah, basically.
Major changes like this for PDS3, I think, are totally inappropriate because it's not PDS3 anymore,
mm-hmm.
Even if we try to say it is, it just isn't.
If I could ask you to expand on that a little bit, what would you see as the distinguishing factors between what is acceptable as a change within PDS3 and what qualifies something as significant enough that it needs to go to PDS4?
Well, I'm not sure that it can be quantified. It's basically a radical enough change that something that we're doing now is basically totally wrong in the next...
Maybe I can pipe in here a little bit.
Sure.
If we decide to drop all the objects in the data dictionary other than table and image, that would be a PDS4 kind of change.
That would be a pretty radical approach, yes.
But if we decide that we want to clarify exactly which keywords are required to be in the implied file object, that's a PDS3.
Is the...
I think too, if you, I think the division line is simple. If you're requiring, if you change the status of a keyword from optional to required, you're actually levying more requirements on the user, and therefore that's a version change. Whether just an incremental version or a major one is how many of those you have, I guess.
Okay, is the underlying issue here basically if it breaks backwards compatibility, it's PDS4? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, or it's a new version.
You can call
the current version 3.5 and call something that has some change, 3.5.1. You know, we choose how major it is.
I mean, do that all the time right now with changes to the standards reference. The point is that it's got to, if it's significant enough that it really does break backward compatibility, then it really ought to be 4. It's not incremental. It's
significant. It's, well, yeah.
What's the next one?
Yeah. Smart people have studied version numbers, and basically when you go from, say, the major release, like 3 to 4, it's usually a paradigm change of some sort.
Right.
But this is, why are we so afraid of version 4?
I'm not afraid of version 4.
I think that's fundamentally what we're asking right now is, are people
that we know what changes we're making that really belong version 4 and what changes that we're going to make we can make in version 3.
And I think fundamentally, Ron's initial question is, are we at the stage where we're ready to start thinking seriously about PDS4 and moving in that direction?
I think we absolutely should. I think
I think we should, too. I have no problem with moving toward version 4. I think all the data dictionary issues we cannot really solve in version 3. We have to go to version 4 for that.
Okay.
And I think we ought to free ourselves by just locking in the current version. And I think that's what the cleanup was supposed to, kind of get the documentation in order for the current version of the data dictionary. Lock it in and then just free ourselves up and work on 4. And give us the ability to change it any way we want. Once we get versioning, we can do that. We have that freedom.
Yeah. Well, I'll give you guys a heads up. What I am seeing happening with the current standards reference, I am still trying to get out 3.7. It sort of got sidelined by the JPEG 2000 thing. 3.7 will contain all of the SCRs that have already been approved, that won't involve any more still-on-the-table issues. 3.8 may be this cleanup. And then after that, basically, I would envision us moving to PDS4, not having any more versions of the standards referenced in the 3 category after that. Is that basically acceptable to folks?
Sounds reasonable.
What's the schedule for this, maybe?
I had hoped to have 3.7 out at the end of September, and obviously that got, as I say, waylaid by JPEG 2000. I would hope now to have that out by the end of the year, and then 3.8 by March. And then, I'm just as a rough ballpark,
3.8 by March. I don't follow that one.
That would be the cleanup one. I don't. That may be way over optimistic. Again, I need to get a better handle on what specifically is in the cleanup before I can put a real date on it. Does a timeline of roughly 2 years to transition to PDS4 sound in the appropriate ballpark?
Too long.
You think that's too long? Okay. Other folks?
Well, again, I think you have to decide what. I mean, if we just decided today that we like the direction that the GL presentation is going and that we're going to implement that lock, stock, and barrel, then I think it's appropriate to move ahead and decide on a schedule. But I think we're still back in what are we going to actually do.
I kind of agree with Todd in that 2 years is probably too long. However, we also need to be aware of certain other financial issues at work here. Many missions are already using PDS3 and they're locked in on it. So we have to be able to support both the PDS3 and PDS4 for an indefinite period. We also probably ought to be prepared to find funding to migrate the current PDS3 already archived data sets into PDS4.
That's a very good point.
There's quite a bit of thought that needs to go into this. So while 2 years does seem like it's a little bit too long, I think it's actually probably reasonable for a complete implementation.
2 years from March 06?
No.
2 years from now.
Now?
It's say January.
Yeah, okay, whatever.
Yeah, when, you know,
We are talking ballpark here.
Well, let's assume that we decide on some lengthy period of time. Within the presentation, there are aspects that we could kind of look to doing earlier on. For instance, this local data dictionary pointer that we were talking about.
Mm-hmm. I think that can be done.
Exactly. That's my point.
Pretty quickly, because it doesn't break anything. If you don't have it, that's fine.
Oh,
yes.
It could. But if I made, that's actually an excellent example of where I think I could see a distinction between 3 and 4, even in the way we implement that. We have a current standard for pointers, which relies on the volume structure. So it would be trivially easy to come up with a pointer that points to this dictionary directory that you're talking about. However, I think it would be a good idea to look at PDS4, something along the lines of replacing pointers with these universal resource, what does the N stand for, URNs, whatever it is, so that basically it doesn't matter whether that file resides on a physical CD volume in a neighboring directory or whether it resides halfway around the world on somebody's server in Japan. You've got sufficient information in the revised PDS4 pointer to go and find it.
Okay.
So again, I would see that as a way that we could implement some of these in a way in PDS3, but also be thinking about, okay, how do we really want to implement this in PDS4 in a more solid way? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I don't know what the URN things that you're talking about.
It's basically a unique identifier on the web. It means...
It does require
same resolution. It's different than a URL.
Okay, I may be using the incorrect terminology. I'm not the expert on that. But basically, all I'm thinking is instead of having a pointer that relies on a physical structure of an archive, let's have a pointer that is sufficient to find that thing anywhere in the world.
Okay, I agree that that is something that could be considered for PDS4.
But the concept of having the local data dictionary is we can implement that under PDS3 with the use of the pointer, as you said.
I would love to see that implemented in pretty soon, and all if we're going to be talking to Engineering Node about validation software and label development software, that would be wonderful to get that in if we can all agree on it in time.
The other issue I think that's worth thinking about in terms of scheduling is what missions we've got coming down the line.
This is Keith. Yes, go ahead.
If I'm trying to deal with LRO, which is still stalled,
yeah,
I'm thinking LRO is a mission that is threatening us with a whole lot of data. What do we want in place for LRO? That's a new community in some respects because we're suddenly picking up people coming from Goddard and potentially the mission operation side. I think that when we think about schedule, we ought to be thinking about what missions we're talking about, not just what dates.
When is LRO launching? Next year, right?
October 2008.
Yeah,
2008. And that's an almost immediate turnaround on data flow, right?
Yep, it's a huge amount of data coming in very quickly.
Yeah.
The other big one coming up is Phoenix.
Actually, I think the more critical issue than launch dates is when are their SISs due?
Yeah.
When do they need to start defining their formats?
I don't know if we can do it for Phoenix, Susie, but MSL might be reasonable on the MAR side.
Right.
When is that? What year is that?
Oh.
When is MSL launching?
09.
I'm not saying what we should do as much as just saying that when we think about dates, we ought to think more about missions rather than...
I agree. I was going to bring up that point.
Well, and I think it's also important
but not LRO.
Yeah, once we can firm up a schedule a little bit, make sure that the missions are well aware of what's going on and let them be involved in the process of deciding whether they want to do it under PDS3 or PDS4.
Or certainly make them aware that
transition could be occurring.
It's coming. They may want to be able to take advantage.
Yeah.
So that we can write the ICDs and the SISs in such a way that we're both flexible.
All right.
I would just add that transitioning to PDS4 actually has multiple phases. The first is the new PDS4 data model, data dictionary, and then the tools follow on afterwards. You can give a project or a mission what the data model is for PDS4 with the expectation that tools will be delivered sometime later. I think we can come up with the data model and data dictionary for PDS4 in under a year.
I think you're right, Todd.
Well, and I think that fundamentally is the initial step. Again, talking about trying to figure out how to plan this all out, my first step was this gathering of requirements. The second step is let's figure out the model. I really do think, I agree with you, Todd, that is the initial thing, and it can be done pretty early in the whole process.
And then really it's up to management council and all that to set priorities on development. How much support goes to 3, how much new development goes into 4,
mm-hmm.
you know, but they have to have some basis to make their judgments on. That's what the new model would.
Exactly. Yeah, both the new model and I think, again, this list of requirements that I'm trying to come up with. This is really to help them make decisions just like you're describing. Okay.
At some point along the way, we will probably want to have the technical group have a face-to-face meeting to hammer out some of the details.
Well, what we were talking about in the meeting yesterday is recommending, I guess there's supposed to be a face-to-face this upcoming spring for the tech group. Or at least, you know, and I don't even know if that was decided already or if that's just being, it's in the initial discussion stages. But I think that might be a good time frame. Basically, if we do a lot of preparation, understand the issues going in, to sit down and hammer out what is our model. That's kind of the timeline I was hoping we could work on. Does that sound reasonable? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Then again, I guess getting back to the survey, what I would really like to see coming out of that is your thoughts much along the lines of what Susie and Ed have already done. Are there other issues that you have identified in your work, in your archiving, in your validating, that basically aren't supported by our current model, aren't supported by the current data dictionary, the standards reference, et cetera?
There's a lot in this list that you sent out. I'm looking at the bottom half of the list is from other people.
Yeah. I've been trying to collect these, and some of these, frankly, are just random little things that I'm not even sure are warranted on this list. Some of these are called from the pending list of SCRs.
There are important things on here. I don't want them ignored just because I didn't happen to have them in this presentation.
Yeah, I understand that. And maybe part of the survey should be whatever list I have, allowing you folks to prioritize it and or make some selections in terms of whether you believe it's PDS3, PDS4, that kind of thing. Does that sound like the kind of input you would like to provide?
I think that would be good.
Okay.
So is the first step to have each node send you a list of what they want?
We could do it that way, and I would be happy to do it that way if you want. Or would you prefer that as the first step I send out a survey with directed questions? What would be more productive for you guys?
I would much rather see a list like is currently posted.
Okay.
And then do what you suggested, saying, I see this as a PDS4 thing. This is something that we could change in 3.
Okay. For those people that weren't participating in this telecom, what would you recommend as some points that I can make that would encourage them to be thinking about the appropriate issues? In other words, I'm not trying to limit what anybody is suggesting. What I'm trying to do is encourage them to think about all the different aspects of what they're doing and how it would impact this.
Tell them all these changes that we made. You'll get lots of response.
That's a good point. Frankie, you're right. Probably if we just show them this list, that will prompt a lot of other thoughts.
That's sort of good, yeah.
Okay.
Just ask them what they want PDS to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we're opening it up.
Yeah.
And you might get some creative responses.
Yeah. Okay, good suggestions all. What kind of timeline would you guys feel comfortable with in terms of getting input back? I mean, 2 weeks, does that seem too short? I can't imagine it's too long.
If you get beyond a month, you run into the holidays.
That's what I'm worried about, yeah. Yeah.
But if you give people too much time, then they forget about it.
Right. Well, do we want to try 2 weeks? And I can nudge those that haven't been responding after the first week or something like that.
What response are you looking for in 2 weeks?
Additions to the laundry list and then any more philosophical thoughts along the lines of your suggestion of what would you like to see in PDS4. So, you know, basically some sort of line items and some paragraphs kind of thing.
Two weeks is reasonable, at least for us.
Okay.
Wait, so you are sending out a list of things for us to react to?
I think what I'm going to do is I'm just going to post it, and I'm going to throw together an interface that will allow folks to prioritize among those and make PDS3 versus PDS4 recommendations, and then provide a place for you guys can use email to send additional points. I don't need to put an interface together for that. So, yeah.
For me, an email will get a better response. If I have to go look up a website, I'm more likely to postpone it.
Okay, then I will send the points out in an email.
Yeah, if you just translate the website into a text file or something
like
that.
Sure, and I guess, because you can easily cut and paste. I really don't care how you guys provide the input. It's, I mean, I just want to make it as convenient as possible for you. It's not a big issue on this end. So I would be happy to do it either way. Okay, so yes, if you guys have any brilliant ideas you just want to go ahead and send me, please feel free to. You don't have to wait for me to send out anything. However, I will send out an email soliciting input, and we'll look for getting, let's say, 2.5 weeks. I think that's before the Thanksgiving holiday, right? Yes, it is. So it'll be the Friday 2.5 weeks from now, roughly.
Elizabeth, I think it'd be good to make sure the Management Council is included in that solicitation.
That's an excellent point. Yes, I will do so. Very good point. Let me write that one down. Okay, any final thoughts from anyone?
Well, I have one more question because you were talking about wrapping up 3.7, I think it was.
Yes.
We have the MD5 checksum.
That, unfortunately, that did not get, it has not gone through the full process yet, so I... In fact, I'm still debating with myself whether to even include the JPEG 2000 thing, although since it's essentially already pre-written chapters, it shouldn't be too hard to slip in there.
My question there is, MD5 checksum's already in the dictionary, but it was never approved to be in the dictionary.
Ooh, you're kidding. I didn't notice that one. Okay.
Now, well, that's just a keyword, though, right?
Yeah, it's just a keyword. But then
still, it shouldn't have been in there, yeah.
It has a dearth of information on what it is supposed to, how it's supposed to be used, all that. That's what the SCR was supposed to clarify.
Right.
People are using it in different situations.
Well, and the additional complication that's arisen since then is it turns out that there's actually even a newer, better, faster, cheaper checksum that,
that
folks are suggesting. Yeah.
It really has a different purpose.
Okay. Although, yeah, that might well be the type of thing where we would be served by having a checksum type and a checksum value. So, you know. But anyway.
The point of my question was, it was an SCR in works, and I was wondering, I have been holding off, bringing it to the table only because there were bigger issues being debated.
Right.
Don't want to be it.
Well,
the question was just the timing on that.
Yeah, if that is a critical enough issue, we could try and proceed with that while, in parallel with working through this whole PDS-3 cleanup versus PDS-4 issue. Is that basically what you'd like to see happen?
Well, I think since it's already in the dictionary, it has to be part of the cleanup because
we don't have
anything regarding it in terms of documentation.
That's a good point. That is a very good candidate for cleanup. Okay.
Got a problem there.
I think I included that on the list. Did I put checksum in there?
Well,
yes, I did.
It's use of checksums, but I took that as a blanket for it.
You're right. Let me update that. What I'll do is I'll say MD5 checksum specifically.
Just a clarification on that.
Yes.
I'm looking at the online data dictionary, and it says the status is pending. Should people be using keywords that are pending?
Good question.
Well, that's a good point. It was, yeah.
I mean, maybe it's not an issue, but we should get to those people that are using it and tell them it's not appropriate.
I'll bet that's one of those specific issues that's never stated anywhere in the standards.
Well, there's not even a definition of pending in the online entry.
It just got added to our laundry list.
Yeah, it's kind of funny that you have a pending status in a data dictionary. Yeah, I mean, the whole thing is kind of cloudy.
Well, the process for getting things into the data dictionary has been a little ad hoc anyway.
Alrighty, okay. Sounds good. I think we've got a plan of attack, at least for the near term. Okay, so I will send out an email, and I would like input back in 2.5 weeks, and from there we can try and carve out some more definite steps towards the cleanup and towards PDS-4. Okay, thank you, folks.
Is Joe Zender's on your list, too?
I will make sure that he is. Okay, thanks a lot.
All right.
Bye-bye.